Welcome to the Kahoot! Podcast. I'm your host, Meira Koponen. I'm a learning designer here at Kahoot! And like many of you, our listeners, I've spent years in the classroom as an educator myself. Kahoot! Has quite a unique place in education, one foot in tech and the other in learning. Many of my colleagues are former educators as well, and we work closely with teachers and students, whether it's product testing or these conversations to better understand our users and how things are and where they are going in classrooms. So we keep having these amazing conversations with educators and students, and we wanted a way to share the best parts in an easy format that you can just listen to while going about your day. The next conversation you're about to hear is about a topic that is on everyone's mind, AI in learning, specifically in higher ed. For this conversation, we're mostly listening and our guests are here to tell us about their daily experiences right now using AI. We have Dr. Meyer from McKinsey University talking about the shift in teaching, and then six amazing students talking about how they are using AI currently and what they want their professors and schools to know when it comes to using AI. So, grab a cup of coffee, settle in, and tune into this conversation about learning and AI in higher education. Change is sometimes both slow and fast. How we adapt to new ways to take in information or communicate can be incredibly quick. We jump onto new platforms, embrace new tools in our personal lives almost instantly. But formal education systems, they can be slow. When I was in classroom, it could take months, if not the full semester, just to get the devices or programs or apps I would have wanted. We used to say our school district moved like a huge ship, slowly, unable to do quick moves, but eventually it would turn. And we're seeing this duality of change now more than ever, especially with AI. We did a survey recently, the Kahoot! Study Habits Snapshot, where we asked 1,000 students how they study. A remarkable 70% of students said they are already using AI for studying, assignments, or both. So it's definitely something we cannot ignore, a force that's moving fast at the student level, even if the ship from an institution perspective is still slowly turning. Let's start with Dr. Meyer first, who sees AI as a powerful ally in the classroom, not something we should be afraid of.
My name is Dr. Meyer, and I am a professor of education. I teach educational technology, so I see AI as this wonderful new adventure and tool that we can use in the classroom for us as professors to work smarter, not necessarily harder.
The first adopters like Dr. Meyer are excited for the opportunities. But not all educators feel the same way, which is natural. Change is a paradox. It can feel slow within institutions, yet surge with breathtaking speed through individual adoption and new technologies. Innovation begins with early adopters, but the broader system and the majority often take a more deliberate pace. The friction, that natural tension between the familiar and the unknown, is what often shapes our initial responses.
Many of my colleagues are terrified by the existence of AI. They don't fully understand how powerful of a tool it can be. And I think sometimes knowledge is power, or the lack thereof of knowledge causes intimidation.
It's a common sentiment, and it highlights the need for more understanding. One of the biggest concerns revolves around academic integrity. The fear that students might be just handing in AI-generated assignments without any real learning happening, or at least not the learning we as educators were hoping to get through the assignment. But is that the full picture? Let's hear from Mark, who's in the thick of his mechanical engineering studies.
My name is Mark, and I'm currently in school with my associate's degree, and I'll be moving on to get my bachelor's in mechanical engineering. I use AI quite often in my schooling. And I don't necessarily think I fit into the category where I'm just submitting AI written papers and everything. But when you look at artificial intelligence as a tool, there's a right way and wrong way to use it. So if I'm writing a paper, for example, and I need a rough outline, or if I need a new idea of a way to branch off, AI can provide a path for me, essentially, to where I can go down this path of this different subject in my paper that I would have personally never thought about. And it's still my own ideas that I'm putting into this subject, but at the same time, AI helped me reach that point.
I love that distinction Mark makes. AI as a guide, a way to explore new avenues he might not have thought of, but still very much his ideas take the center stage. It's not about bypassing thinking. It sounds more like he's using AI to scaffold his thinking. And it seems Mark isn't alone in finding these creative ways to tackle complex material. Ella, who's on a path to becoming an attorney, shared similar experience.
My name's Ella, and I'm studying to be an attorney. For me, the hardest part about writing an essay is just being able to organize my thoughts. I often have so many ideas just going on in my brain that it can be really overwhelming to even know where to start and how I want the paper to look. So simply, you know, typing in something along the lines of where I'm going and asking ChatGPT to create an outline for me can be so helpful, because then I know I'm like, okay, I can take this direction or I can take this direction. And as Mark said, it can really help to spark creativity of realizing that there are ways that you can take the topic that you would have never thought about had ChatGPT not brought it up. Summaries are, for me, like the best way that I learn. Like, I can read a full text and have a concept of what it was talking about, but really going back, reading the text, and then reading a summary of the piece to make sure that I understand all the crucial details is really, really helpful for me. And it can provide the basic facts and the most important facts that you know that you need to have in your paper, it kind of as a checklist situation.
For Ella, AI becomes almost like a study partner, helping her when she is unsure if she's got all the crucial details down. It's about building confidence in her understanding. It's compelling to hear how students are leveraging AI as a thought partner for tasks like outlining or brainstorming. But this also raises interesting questions for us as educators. How do we ensure students are still developing the foundational skills of organizing thoughts and brainstorming independently? And how can we guide them to interact with AI in a critical way to ensure it's a rigorous thought partner, not just a tool that cheers them on without any challenge? This is where prompting AI effectively and then critically evaluating its outputs becomes a vital skill in itself. Now, even as students find these positive ways to use AI, there's a practical challenge they're facing, a real point of friction. Lauren, who's training to be an elementary teacher, pointed out something that can make navigating AI feel like walking a tightrope.
I feel like it's also difficult sometimes because, like, going back to even the college setting, like being in class, there are so many different professors who are like fully on board, like use it for ideas and stuff, use it for this. But then you can go to the next class you have 10 minutes later, and then someone's like, you cannot even generate an idea within.
You can really hear the frustration here, that whiplash of going from one classroom where AI is welcomed for brainstorming to another where it's completely off limits. It highlights a good point. As students increasingly engage with these tools, the conversation has to broaden. It's not just about how students use AI, but perhaps more profoundly, how does teaching itself need to evolve in response? Let's go back to Dr. Meyer for her thought on this.
No longer are we able to teach the way we always have. In order to be able to meet students and their needs for AI, we have to change our pedagogical approaches within the classroom. We can no longer use assignments that we've used for decades. We need to start to rethink our teaching practices as well in the classroom in order to be able to capitalize on the use of AI.
Dr. Meyer is really challenging traditional method here. She is suggesting that if AI can whip up a standard essay in seconds, then maybe, just maybe, the problem isn't AI but the assignment itself. It leads to a fascinating question. How can educators design tasks that AI cannot simply do? Tasks that demand more from our students. Dr. Meyer has some creative ideas.
So if I'm constantly giving, write a research paper on World War II, and I'm expecting my students to come up with that knowledge base from the lectures that I've given in my class, I could easily use AI to generate a research paper. What I may need to do then is to come up with some kind of a podcast, maybe where I want my students to interview and pretend to become the fictitious people. They take on that persona, which actually is more research driven because they have to understand maybe what was Roosevelt thinking during that time period. Or maybe I look at women's suffrage, and I know I'm looking at World War One now, but maybe I'm looking at women's suffrage rights, and I can interview, take on the persona of several different suffragettes and look at their perspective and create that persona, which AI can do and help you do the research, but I have to be able to assimilate that knowledge, which gives us much higher in the order of thinking skills that are needed.
What a fantastic example from Dr. Meyer. Shifting from a simple research paper to a podcast persona, pushing students towards those higher order thinking skills. And it's not just seasoned professors who see the need for this evolution in assignments. Heidi, who's on her journey to become a high school teacher, echoes this sentiment. She believes that change really needs to begin with how educators design those learning experiences.
I think that coming from someone that wants to do like higher education, like high school, I think, and something that I'd like to see more in like higher ed, like college, is like teachers and professors get so scared of like kids using AI to write their papers and stuff. But I honestly just think that's like a their problem, because if you're giving a student that's not encouraged to be creative in the classroom, and then you're going to say, oh, write a research paper that's 6 pages, they're not going to want to do that. They're going to use AI for it, especially if they're not like someone that's an overachiever, you know?
Heidi makes a strong point here. If assignments aren't engaging or don't encourage creativity, can we really be surprised if students look for shortcuts? It's a provocative thought. And Sarah, who's preparing to be an elementary teacher, used a really vivid analogy to describe the inevitability of students using these tools.
Like putting a cookie in front of a little kid and saying, don't eat it. I feel like teaching students how to use AI properly is definitely going to help in the classroom in the long run, because they're going to use it no matter what. I mean, it's a learning tool there that they ultimately, at the end of the day, they're going to have access to. So you should teach them how to use it properly.
The cookie in front of a little kid. What we're hearing from both Heidi and Zura is this clear message. AI isn't going anywhere, so instead of trying to build walls against it, perhaps our energy is far better invested in teaching students how to use it thoughtfully and effectively. And this brings us back to a fundamental question. What should be the core goals of education, especially now in this new AI-infused landscape? Dr. Meyer offers her perspective.
One of our goals of education should always be to have our students be able to evaluate and synthesize the information that they've learned. AI is a great tool for us to be able to hone those skills in our students.
Being able to evaluate and synthesize information with the help of AI. We've heard some really positive examples so far. Students using AI to build outlines, to understand complex texts, and educators thinking about more creative assignments. But there's another side to this story, a more challenging aspect, and we'll dig into it in the next segment. Is AI cheating? What if I used AI for an outline of an assignment for a course I was allowed to, and then used that assignment structure as a base for another assignment for a course I'm not allowed to use AI at all? Does that count as still using AI? Did I unintentionally cheat? What if I used it for brainstorming, but I only got ideas that I already kind of had before? Suspicions of cheating and the anxiety around it is something Lauren, Mark, Ella, and Sarah all touch upon, and it's a critical part of the conversation.
I think that it also, like, the word AI, if someone just said the word AI, I'd be like, okay, cheating. I feel like that's the only, like, connotation that it gets. It just has such a bad rep. instead of just thinking, oh, cheating, you should think of it as a tool, because it is. You can use it ideas, like even for some assignments in here, whenever we have to do like a presentation or something for what we would teach to a classroom, I'm like, okay, what? I first think of what is popular with the age group that I'm teaching right now to keep them engaged in it. So that's how I can use this tool instead of just thinking, oh, using AI to do my math problems or writing an essay or stuff like that.
Let's teach them. You can use this to brainstorm. You can use this to teach yourself when you're struggling. You know, I'm in high-end calculus classes and everything from being a engineering student, and we can use AI to teach. Let's say I'm struggling on something like double integration. I can use AI to say, oh, can you tutor me on this and catch up with the rest of the class? So I would really want to send a message out there. First off, read papers yourself and judge yourself, because I've had to send countless emails where I've been accused of it, where, like, look at this sentence. Do you really think this was written by AI? It has emotion in it and everything. And I think let's read it ourselves and judge from there, because I think it can be easy enough to tell if it's AI written just by reading it yourself. And let's move into a way where we can use this as a teaching tool to make our classrooms even better in the future.
Yeah, I agree. I think it can create a lot of really unnecessary like anxiety, especially when writing papers. Like before, I used to get anxious about, oh, am I going to get a bad grade on this? But now often when I submit papers, the number one thing I'm worried about is, am I going to get a zero because they think that I've used AI to write it, even though I haven't. And I mean, I get anxiety about papers like that when I've used no AI at all. And then same as when I've used it to create an outline and to bounce ideas off. It just creates so much anxiety, because I think, as you mentioned, the better writing you do, the more likely it thinks that it's AI. So like if I, for example, I'm like using like semicolons, I'm always like, okay, what would I tell my professor if they were like, well, I know this is AI because you wouldn't use a semicolon.
Yeah.
Like, and being able to back up, like, okay, I know what a semicolon is and I would use it right here. So I think it's just a lot of really unnecessary anxiety. And as Mark said, I think that it should be more like the professor checking it than the AI trying to tell itself if it's AI.
And I think another big thing from going for one class where you're allowed to use AI and then another class where you're not allowed to use AI is just like, I feel like the fear for me with AI is, okay, if I use it for this class, is this teacher going to be able to tell that I used AI for another class because I was allowed to? So it's kind of like the fear of being accused of using AI is huge. Like I got accused of using AI to write an email. And I was like, why would I do that?
What we're hearing is a pattern. Students aren't just thinking about how to use AI, but whether they will be misunderstood or even punished for using it responsibly. The fear of being accused can sometimes outweigh the learning itself. But as Haley, a future middle school teacher, reminds us, AI isn't just about writing. It can also be a lifeline when students are struggling to understand content.
I feel like some teachers, they don't understand that AI can also help your students when they're struggling with the material. So like, if I'm like, we're reading this poem in class, but it's written by Shakespeare and it's hard to understand, we could bring it in and be like, can you make this into 2024 talking text or anything like that? And then it's way easier for us to understand and get the idea from it better.
Transforming Shakespeare into modern-day text in order to discuss the themes, such a practical way to use AI to bridge understanding gaps. And it's inspiring to hear how these future teachers are already thinking ahead. They're actively picturing how they might bring AI into their own classrooms one day. What does that future look like to them?
I think I would go for it. I would let the students use it to bounce ideas off, but and maybe we would be able to use it together in the classroom so they understand kind of what I'm looking for if they are. And then it could be more like everything they're doing together is group work.
That was Haley again. Her vision of using AI collaboratively in the classroom, helping students understand the expectations, that sounds really constructive, especially for middle school. But as Lauren, who's preparing to teach younger students, points out, the approach might need to be different depending on the age group. What are her thoughts on using AI with elementary kids?
I feel like it's also geared towards which age group you're doing. So I know you're kindergarten or first grade.
Yeah.
And I'm fourth grade, which is obviously older. But I mean, especially at like that young of an age for like kindergarten, first grade, all the way to even fifth, kids learn better whenever they use their own minds. So I feel like it definitely should be geared more towards like seventh grade and up in higher ed, just because there's also not too many things that they can use for like assignments and projects that they can actually like learn and obtain from.
That's a really important distinction. The idea that for younger learners, the priority is on developing those foundational cognitive skills without the direct intervention of AI. It brings up a key consideration in this whole discussion: age appropriateness and developmental stages. Yet across all age groups, there is a consistent call from these future educators for a certain approach from their own teachers now. Haley puts it quite nicely.
Giving each of your students the benefit of the doubt when using AI, not just, oh, you used AI today, you aren't passing today. Yeah. It's, you use AI, how did you use it? How did it help you? Okay, I can agree with that.
As we're getting more warmed up to it, we need to realize it is not a cheating tool, a plagiarism tool, but it is a tool that we can use for good as well. And if we gear it right in both the classroom and for students in the future, I think it can be a great tool that can bring a lot of value to society.
This call for giving students the benefit of the doubt, as Haley mentioned, and Mark's powerful reminder that AI can be a tool for good, really underscores a shift in perspective. Moving beyond the cheating tool narrative, they see the potential. And to help us contextualize these evolving views, who better to turn to than an educator who's seen several waves of technological change in her career? Dr. Meyer offers a historical perspective.
I've taught long enough. This is year 30 plus for me. I remember when the word processor came out and computers came out in my teaching, and my colleagues were afraid of the computer. They were afraid of the spell checker and that students weren't going to be able to learn how to spell anymore. I remember when Google came out or the internet came out and my colleagues being afraid of students not being able to think on their own. I think we are still in that trajectory with AI that is simply a tool. Just like a spell checker, just like a calculator, just like an internet browser. We have to learn how to embrace it, use it for good. Because like any tool, it can be used for good or for bad.
I think knowledge is power, and that if we educate everybody on the correct way to use AI and how useful of a tool it can be, only good things can come.
What a perfect note to end on. Knowledge is power. I think that beautifully encapsulates so much of what we've explored today. In this episode of Kahoot Podcast, we've heard the student experience of using AI in education. We've heard loud and clear that students are not just passively encountering AI. Many are using it thoughtfully, strategically, in ways that genuinely support their learning. Yet this exploration is often clouded by inconsistent guidelines and a fear of false accusations, leading to some very real anxiety. The message from both the students and Dr. Meyer seems to be a call for a shift in mindset, moving away from outright bans or suspicion and towards understanding AI, guiding its ethical use, and redesigning learning experiences to foster the kind of critical creative thinking that will be indispensable in this AI age. It's a big ask, but an important one. A huge heartfelt thank you to our wonderful student panel, Mark, Ella, Lauren, Heidi, Sarah, and Haley, and of course to the insightful Dr. Julie Meyer from McKendree University for sharing their experiences and wisdom with us today. They've given us so much to think about. This has been an episode of Kahoot Podcast. I'm your host, Meira Koponen. I hope you found this conversation as interesting as I did, and I look forward to welcoming you back as we continue exploring more topics. Until next time.